Welcome back to State of Belief Radio. Your host, Welton Gaddy, is off this week. I'm Jack Moline. We regularly address the many ways the rhetoric of religious freedom has been hijacked to serve dominant, exclusionary, and discriminatory agendas. In truth, protection of the right to follow any religion, and critically, no religion, is core to this fundamental constitutional value. On Tuesday next, the American Humanist Association is presenting a talk titled Humanizing Religious Freedom for All by Sabrina Dent of the Center for Faith, Justice, and Reconciliation. Dr. Dent has been with us before, and it's great to have her back to talk about these important principles. Sabrina, welcome back to State of Belief Radio.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Moline. It's so great to be with you all today.
So your focus will be in great measure on religious privilege, which is a great term. But I suspect that a lot of people listening don't know exactly what that means. Would you describe what religious privilege is, please?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. So religious privilege is pretty much when one particular group is preferenced, one particular religious group is preferenced over other groups or non-religious groups. So right now, the language that most people may identify with or have heard is Christian nationalism. And so what people need to understand is there is a distinction between Christianity and Christian nationalism, right? So it's not when people are talking about Christian nationalism, they're talking about a small group of people who believe that what it means to be American means that you have to hold Christian ideals or Christian beliefs, and that you have to make certain professions of that particular faith, or even how you show up. And we see that even happening right now in terms of public policy, how that is impacting communities. So religious privilege is when there is preference that is shown towards one group over another, and they're more, and they are prioritized in decision making about policy and many different ways. It's really raising the question of who has religious freedom in this country. And I think that's an important question for people to think about, because on paper, everyone has the right to freedom of conscience and freedom of belief. But in praxis, it hasn't appeared to be that way. And so there's this tide that is turning, which is a very dangerous turn that is taking place here in the United States.
So there are obviously people who claim this religious privilege and promote this religious privilege. But as you noted, it's a relatively small segment of American society.
Yes.
How do they get away with it?
Right. So how do they get away with it? One, funding. Right? So let's be real. Money talks, right? And if the person that has the money has the microphone to really promote this messaging, then that helps. Also, I think it happens because there's a lot of misinformation and disinformation that is out there that gets circulated, and people are not educated about the issues that are really happening in the public square and who is really impacted by these issues. So one of the things that I appreciate, Rabbi Jack, is that there are think tanks and data or organizations such as the Public Religion Research Institute, right? And Pew Research Center, because they show data that that shows us that the religious landscape in the United States is changing, right? Which means some of the demographics in the United States are changing also. And what happens is there is a small segment of the population that has created these narratives that create fear among other individuals that give these perceptions that certain things are happening to remove their rights in the United States, their rights to believe or the right to act or to make decisions about certain things, when that is not, that's far from the truth. The reality of it is that the United States as a pluralistic nation is for everyone, which means everyone's rights, their beliefs should be respected and guarded and protected. And so what happens is you have have this small group that says, no, this infringes upon my right to believe X, Y, and Z, because I'm not trying to target any particular group in this conversation. But I think that that messaging continues on. It's like, it's kind of like the game telephone. Like when you play telephone, right? Somebody gives one person a message, and then by the time you get to the end of the line, it has totally shifted from what the actual truth or the spoken word has been. And I think that is what we're seeing play out in the public square, but it's dangerous when it infiltrates public policy and it dictates how other people should live their lives. And we saw that even with decisions around Roe versus Wade. We've seen that in decisions that have been made about funding funding from public schools then going towards private religious education. So there's a lot that is happening. And even recently with the news that came out about the 20 GOP attorney generals that then want to sue the USDA office because of language to go into a piece of legislation that provides additional protections for people based on sexual orientation and gender identity. Again, that comes from someone's theological beliefs about a certain group of individuals. So yeah, to bring it back to that talk, yes, it's about humanizing religious freedom, right? For me, people think of it as, you know, just religious freedom, my right to believe or not to believe. But I say it goes a little bit further than that. It goes as far as thinking about a person's right to live, to thrive, to be, to exist in society without being discriminated, and without being targeted for however they show up. And that to me is a human rights issue at the root cause. It's human rights. It's human dignity.
What makes this so difficult is that religious privilege can get turned into dogma, and then anyone who threatens privilege is angrily denounced as heretical or even anti-God. How do you counter those arguments, which are self-serving, of course, but they're also very effective in activating believers?
That, you know what, that's a great question. Yeah, someone could see it as dogma, someone could see it as heretical. For me, it goes back to human dignity, that one's beliefs should never infringe upon the human rights of another person. For me, it's about speaking truth to power about the realities of this country as well, right? So we have to, like, from a historical standpoint, we have to remember that human freedom was overlooked initially. Also that, but in that overlooking of human freedom, there was this beautiful opportunity for them to talk about freedom of conscience, freedom of belief, but and yet, and still over time, there still continues to be this disenfranchisement of many different groups as it pertains to their human rights. And what happens then is people use their religion to then justify why certain things should take place based on another group's identity or their beliefs about that particular group. So for me, that is problematic within itself. So we need to address religious privilege in this country. Beyond the fact that the legal system is structured, or at least I should say that it is written that this should not be, that we as everyday citizens have a responsibility to address these issues in our communities, in our conversations with our congregations, in our conversations with our civic organizations, because again, it's about thinking through the context of who is my neighbor? Who is the person that I say I love and I care about, right? When you're thinking about those things, then for me, it's about getting down to, again, the human dignity and the human rights of a person. So we have to address religious privilege in this country. And think about this, right? How does one really want to be treated by another individual? And I'm not talking about a person that is not healthy in every sense, right? Someone that is not self-actualized, because there are some people that are experiencing challenges in their lives, and you know, they're just in a different place than some people that are emotionally healthy and in a better place, right? But how do you as a human being want to be treated, right? How do you want your family to be treated? And for me, like when I think on religious freedom and addressing religious privilege, I think of it on that base level there. It's about dignity and it's about respect for another human being. And I find it also very problematic, Rabbi Jack, when people say this, if people ascribe to a certain religious belief that says they believe that everyone is made in the image and likeness of God, right? That means that, and that everyone should be respected. If they have that ideology, then they need to uphold that in how they live in their life and how they navigate life in terms of their value for all humanity. Because as soon as you make a decision that is the antithesis of what you proclaim, then you are a hypocrite of the very beliefs that you say you practice. And that is a problem. So that's why religious privilege in this country, that's why Christian nationalism has to be addressed.
So I think I can make one more recommendation as well, and that is that people listen to the virtual talk you're giving this coming Tuesday. Can you tell us what that's going to be about? And don't forget to tell us how we can connect to it.
Oh, absolutely. So on Tuesday, I have the opportunity to speak during the American Humanist Association's Speaking of Humanism series. And this will be an opportunity to really talk about and unpack this thing that we've talked about in terms of religious privilege. People can watch on Facebook Live by going to the American Humanist Association's Facebook page. Also, if you go to their website, you can also get more information about this upcoming talk. But for me, it's really about sharing with the community more largely why it's important for us to humanize religious freedom. Religious freedom is a very important right in this country, but also human rights are important. And if we're humanizing it, then we're not leaving out our friends, our brothers and sisters that are non-religious in this conversation. And I think it's important for us to walk alongside one another in doing this work, because the reality of it is we cannot do it alone. Not at all. So join us next Tuesday at 6:30 for the American Humanist Association's Speaking of Humanism series. Join us on Facebook Live. I look forward to the questions that people will ask. Great. And the dialogue that will come forward.
And we want to make sure to mention that 6:30 Eastern time.
Yes, 6:30 Eastern time.
Wonderful. Dr. Sabrina Dent is president of the Center for Faith, Justice, and Reconciliation, formerly at Americans United for the Separation of Church and State. Sabrina is the founder of Reimagine Religious Freedom, an education initiative dedicated to engaging religious communities in reimagining how we discuss religious freedom to address social justice issues in the 21st century. She is, as we've mentioned, one of the authors of the book African Americans and Religious Freedom, New Perspectives for Congregations and Communities. On Tuesday, Dr. Dent is delivering a talk entitled Humanizing Religious Freedom for All. You can find more information at the American Humanist Association website, AmericanHumanist.org. Sabrina, thanks so much for being with us again on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Jack. It's always a pleasure speaking with you.
We need to take one last break, and then Sarah Riccardi Swartz at the intersection of Christian nationalism and the Orthodox Church in America. You're listening to State of Belief Radio, brought to you by Interfaith Alliance.